I'm grateful for the word as well. We're going to open up to Daniel chapter 12 tonight. We're going to read verses 9 and 10 and then verse 13 as our text. And I hope we'll enjoy a time of fellowship and prayer. Daniel chapter 12, verse 9, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. But you go your way," this says in verse 13, "you go your way till the end. For you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days." Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you for your presence with us. Father, we thank you for your hand upon us. Lord, we thank you for your fellowship with us. Father, we thank you that you indeed make a home in our hearts with us, Lord. Thank you for your willingness to accompany us as we take our way, Father, in this life that you've given us. We praise you this evening that your way has taken us here together tonight. We thank you that this evening your way has brought us to your word. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to take advantage of it. This time of your word, this time of prayer, this time of fellowship, that we might glorify you and grow in faith, grow in strength, Father, as you give it to us. Bless us in your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, recently we spent some time in Sunday school, considering Daniel and those prophetic words that were given to that man during the days of the Babylonian captivity, during the days when he was taken captive himself, and then he grew up and became a man, you might even say, while he was in captivity and lived under the reign of a number of different monarchs there. And as you read through this book, as Brother David taught us in the book of Daniel, you see a number of different things that he was given regarding warning, regarding judgment, regarding mystery, regarding the things of the end times, the things that are troubling, I would say, the troubling nature of many of the words that he was given. If you just take them as they are and as at face value, as we kind of say often, just looking at them for what they are. I don't ever want to be troubled by the word of God when it's the will of God. But sometimes those things that are the will of God can trouble us in our spirit and trouble us in our minds and in just our considerations of the gravity and the power and all the terribleness of the things that will take place. They can be troubling. And Daniel was troubled by some things. He was moved by what he received from the Lord. If you look back a couple of chapters in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 10, this was just one instance when he received a message from the Lord, received a vision from the Lord, and look how he responded to it in verses 2 and 3. "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, moved." Mourning can bring a great deal of physical and physiological response, and he did so for 3 full weeks. "I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." This shouldn't come as a surprise because the will of God, and this was Daniel, the will of God for Daniel, was to receive these words, to receive these troubling things. The will of God can be a burden to this flesh. It just is what it is. Isaiah tells us that "for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The Lord's thoughts, the Lord's comprehension of things, the Lord's understanding of things, the Lord's will for things, his planning for things for us, he understands what's going to bring us to a better place, what's going to bring us to a victorious place. He'll make those decisions that we wouldn't make of our own volition. He makes those choices for us that we would not make, and he presents the opportunity to just trust him for those choices and those decisions. That can be burdensome. "I have this for you. This is what I promise will benefit you. You don't understand everything that is involved in this, but this is what I have, and this is what's going to be a part of your path to fullest victory and the nearest place to me. Do you accept it or do you not?" Sometimes it's just as simple as that, and that can be a burdensome thing when he calls for us to see and do and even know things that we wouldn't want to see and do and perhaps things we wouldn't want to know. I was thinking as we were returning home from the funeral today, just as we were coming up on the Grandview Triangle there, where you have 435 and you have 71 and you have 470 and you have 470 is also known as 50 Highway partially, and then you have 435 westbound, and then 49 south and 29 north and all of these different things there. And I oftentimes think when I'm out on the highway looking at all these different cars, we just came from a funeral where we paid our respects to a dear sister. And people leave that place mourning. What other things are people dealing with as we pass by them in the cars, as they turn westbound on 435, as I turn eastbound on 470, and someone else turns southbound on 71? They're going to their own respective place. They're going to their own respective place and their own respective circumstances and burdens. They might be completely joyful in that car. Well, this car over here have someone nearly full breakdown. Each one of us have our own respective circumstances. Those ones who are in the will of God, those circumstances can be burdensome on us and weighty upon us, but we trust the will of God. We trust the presence of God. We trust the strength of God. Because if you get right down to it, we're all given to be burdened by the will of God. Who is everybody? We have examples, right? You could turn to 2 Chronicles 18. The prophets were given to cry out and sometimes even execute the judgment of God's will. They were burdened with this. Isaiah, I mentioned just a moment ago, Daniel was a prophet who was burdened with the sharing of God's will and his expression and intention of judgment. I just have just one small little piece here where, well, that man Micaiah, who I really enjoy his story. And sometimes what I like the most about it is just his simple refusal to acquiesce to the needs and the demands of an ungodly king. All he had to do if he wanted to avoid imprisonment, incarceration, was just to go along with the rest of the ones, the rest of those false prophets who said, go, O king, go up and take that country, go into battle, you're going to win. They said, Micaiah, just tell him what he wants to hear. And Micaiah said those simple things. I'm not going to assimilate with them. He said, as the Lord lives, as surely as Jehovah is present and lives and reigns over me, whatever my God says, that I will speak. That's powerful words. Simple words, and yet powerful, because there's burden involved there. He had a burden when you consider that all he had to do was acquiesce to this, and instead he went this direction, and we know that he was placed into prison perhaps for quite some time. I think that Micaiah believed that the burden of disappointing the Lord was more real than the burden of disappointing the king. But it was burdensome nonetheless. Who else? Who else are given the burden of, well, carrying out the will of God, those given to lead God's people in whatever capacity? Throughout history, I'm not just talking about pastors and preachers, but those are included there, but judges throughout Old Testament history, the kings in Old Testament history, they had been given to lead the people of God. The apostles were given to lead the people of God. When you get more to a closer, nearer context here, parents are given to lead the people of God, perhaps the littler people of God. But is that a burden? Sure it is. Absolutely it is. But not only those ones who are given to lead God's people, those of God's people given to be led. They have a burden to carry. The godly Israelites under ungodly rulers, they had a burden as they were given to live and exist underneath ungodly, unrighteous rule. And so it was for Daniel there, as we turn back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel was burdened with the knowledge of the judgment of God's people. He was burdened with the knowledge of the judgment of God's rejectors. He was burdened with the knowledge of the order of events that was to take place in the end times yet to come. He was burdened with the knowledge of just people, who they are. Can people burden you just knowing what people are, who people are, how people are? Yes. And he was burdened with that understanding that the Lord gave him and who they would continue to be, well, until the Lord's finishing his work here. Back in our text in verse 9. The messenger said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Essentially saying, this is going to happen. I have presented this to you. Nothing is going to change. I have foreseen this. This is what is being presented. This is going to take place. And then he elaborates, many shall be purified, made white and refined. And let me just say how grateful I am for particularly that word many. Many shall be purified, but there is an exception. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And that's sad knowledge, but it's true knowledge. And Daniel was to bear that burden. And furthermore, he was to share that burden, not only with those ones in that day that he was given to present this, well, this foretelling of judgment to come, but here I am sharing his words with you. And so now he is sharing that burden, essentially, as I share that burden tonight with him. And you share that burden of knowing, once again being reminded, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But here we are, burdened to a measure with what Daniel shared with us. Now, that being said, perhaps not with all the understanding that he had, but also, you carry your own burden and your own understanding of things that he did not. As you read what Daniel was given, as what he was told, and you look and you see how it plays out in the New Testament, and then how you correlate it to Revelation. Sure, there will be more to come in our Sunday school of prophecy and the like. More understanding that's there that Daniel perhaps didn't have the context of, certainly not the presentation of Paul's gospel and how it applies to that sort of thing. You have your own measure of burden that's different than Daniel's. It's kind of tied in there, certainly, but it's your own burden. You are going your own direction on 435, while Daniel is going on 29 north and so on and so forth. And whatever the case might be, saints, wherever direction the Lord has you going, whatever capacity of burden he has for you to carry, whatever that burden looks like, again, all of God's people are called to be burdened, to carry a burden to some measure, to think and to know, and to do things you wouldn't choose to do and think and know were it up to you. It would not have been your chosen way. But as the Lord placed it upon you, by his will, by his counsel, it is indeed to be your way. It should be your way. For each one shall bear his own load, Paul told the Galatians in Galatians 6:5. God has called you and determined a body of work for you. He's determined a path for you. He's told you what direction you're to go, what route you're to take. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them, no matter what they look like, no matter how they sound, no matter how they feel, no matter where they are, whatever the case may be. And by the grace of God, we do and will do as Daniel did, and we will be blessed similarly. We'll close with that last verse of that book, or the chapter of our text. But you, he said to Daniel, you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. It doesn't matter that the wicked aren't going to hear. It doesn't matter to you that the wicked aren't going to know. It doesn't matter how burdened you are. It doesn't matter what direction each one of these people are going, what route they're taking to where. You go your way until the end, and you shall rest, and you will arise with your inheritance, to your inheritance at the end of the days. And so, saints, you go your way till the end, the way that the Lord has called you. You see it through. It may at times bring you to your knees in fear and sadness, in doubt, in questioning, and all of these things. But you take those fears and you take those doubts to the Lord. You take your loss of appetite if you share that with Daniel. And you might just be tired of picking up your cross daily and following after the Lord. Your respective cross, if any man should come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You might just be tired of picking that up day after day. Pick it up. Don't grow weary. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. See it through. Go your own way. Take Christ's yoke and his burden, easy and light, but for a time. But like Daniel's, the resulting inheritance is everlasting. See it through, saints, and you will rest. He will give that to you.